May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I seriously contemplated preaching today on the meaning of Noah's Ark. It would be an understatement to say that this has been an unusually rainy and wet summer in many parts of our nation, certainly in Kentucky. In life, we desire an even balance. We would like mostly sunny, bright days, yet enough rainy days to keep the grass, trees, and flowers watered. However, we know all too well that within our lives, rarely is such a balance reached. So that within our nation, we have regions suffering from severe drought, causing deadly fires, while within other parts of the country, heavy rainfall has caused severe and damaging flooding. At our recent family wedding and reunion in Newport, Rhode Island, my brother-in-law from Arizona told me that where he lives, they have not had a drop of rain in over 125 days. Jesus said, "Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near." In the 10th chapter of Luke's gospel, we find ourselves within the group of Christ's disciples hearing his words of preparation and instructions for them on how they shall live as they go forward to spread his teachings and God's love to all of the surrounding towns, cities, and regions. Jesus tells them that it will not always be easy. They will not always be welcome. Their lives will not be ones of perfect balance, and it will still be okay. It will still be okay. The kingdom of God will still be with them. As we go through life, we can be certain that we will as well not have lives of perfect balance. That we will at one or more points in our lives come up against someone or something that will literally knock us off balance. Certainly, the passengers on that Asiana flight from Seoul, Korea to San Francisco that crash landed yesterday, killing two young 16-year-olds and injuring many, found a plane full of people who were both literally and figuratively knocked off balance. Jesus is clear. "See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves." What has happened in your life? What has happened in your life that has brought you great pain, suffering, and perhaps knocked you off balance? Where the rain kept falling and falling and falling. Were you able to hold on to the belief that the kingdom of God was still with you? That the kingdom of God was still in your midst, living in your very being? Several years ago, Philip Gully wrote a book called Front Porch Tales. And he writes the following story about himself in that book. He writes, "When I was in the fourth grade, I was offered a job as a paperboy. It didn't pay much money, but I knew having a job would build my character, so I took it." Good character being important to fourth graders. "My lessons started on the first day on the job. A customer paying his bill asked me if I wanted a tip, and I said, sure. He said, stay away from wild women. One of my customers was a lady named Mrs. Stanley. She was a widow and not prone to wild living, so I took to lingering on her front porch during my rounds. She'd watch for me to come down her street, and by the time I pedaled up to her house, there'd be a slushy bottle of Coke waiting for me. I'd sit and drink while she talked. That was our understanding. I drank, she talked." The widow Stanley talked mostly about her dead husband, Roger. "Roger and I went grocery shopping this morning over to the IGA," she'd say. The first time she said that, the Coke went up my nose. That was back in the days when Coke going up your nose wasn't a crime, just a mite uncomfortable. "I went home and told my father about Mrs. Stanley and how she talked as if Mr. Stanley were still alive. Dad said she was probably lonely and that maybe I just ought to sit and listen and nod my head and smile, and maybe she'd work it out of her system. So that's what I did. I figured that was where the character building came into play. Turned out after a few summers, she seemed content to leave her husband at the South Cemetery. I quit my paper route after her healing, moved on to the lucrative business of lawn mowing. Didn't see the widow Stanley for several years. Then we crossed paths up at the Christian Church's annual fundraiser dinner. She was standing behind the steam table, spooning out mashed potatoes and looking radiant. 4 years ago, she had to bribe her paperboy with a Coke to have someone to talk with. Now she had friends brimming over. Her husband was gone, but life went on. She had her community and was luminous with love. Community is a beautiful thing. Sometimes it even heals and makes us better than we would otherwise be. I live in the city now. My front porch is a concrete slab, and my paperboy is a lady named Edna with 3 kids and a 12-year-old Honda. Every day she asks me how I'm doing. When I don't say fine, she sticks around long enough to find out why. She's such a nice lady that sometimes I act as if I have a problem just so she'll tarry. She's lived in the city all her life, but she knows community too. Community isn't so much a locale, he writes, as it is a state of mind. You find it whenever folks ask you how you're doing because they care and not because they're getting paid to inquire. He concludes, 2,000 years ago, a church elder named Peter wrote the recipe for community. He wrote, "Above all else, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins." That means when you love a person, you occasionally have to turn a blind eye toward their shortcomings, kind of like why my dad told me I should be that way with the widow Stanley. Sometimes it's better to nod your head and smile. Psychiatrists call that enabling denial. But back when I delivered papers, we called it compassion. I think this is one of the points of Jesus' instruction to the disciples and to us. that even when we are in the midst of difficult times, maybe suffering, perhaps not in complete balance, seek community. Be a listening ear to one another. And when you are not welcome, move on, because there are so many who do need you and will welcome you. And always be compassionate, because that is of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within you, and you, and you, and you, and me. All of us. Amen.